that precious tonight? Amen. I like that. Just getting our kids around us and praying over them and talking to them and challenging them. And I appreciate those who are working with our kids. I told you tonight's going to be a little bit different, and I'm going to keep my word. It's going to be a little bit different. Tonight, I, as your pastor, just want to talk to you. But you know how that is. It may sound like I'm screaming at you before long, but that's not what I'm trying to do. God's really working in my heart with this thought of prayer and praying as a church family and coming together and talking to the Lord. And tonight I just want to give you just a brief little seminar, if I may do that, and talk to you about some things that's on my heart as your pastor. I remind you that what I'm saying tonight, I'm still working on. I'm still working on the details. I do not want to hurry the Lord on this, but I just want to give you what the Lord's put on my heart so far. Can I just put it that way? Just preface it that way. And let me pray with you, and I want to just share some thoughts with you about prayer. And I'm going towards some things that I want you to pray with me about and seeking the Lord on. And all of these things the Lord's dealing with my heart about. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this service? Speak to our hearts. Thank you for those children in the service tonight. I pray that you'll bless them and their families. Lord God, guide my thoughts. Fill me with your power and spirit. May there be nothing hindering you, absolutely nothing. I confess to you, I need you tonight. I can't do this. Help me not to say one thing displeasing to you. And may this local church get a hold of this, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last several messages, we've been preaching on the topic of prayer. And the Lord has been working in my heart as your pastor to challenge and guide this local church to do more than learn about prayer. We've been learning about it. We've been preaching about it. But God wants us to do more than learn about prayer. He wants us to be determined to act upon this vital topic. And I want us to determine to come together as a church family and pray like we never have before. Now, before I give you some specifics, let me just give you just a brief overview of some of different things we've been preaching about and just kind of summarize some things here. As we think about prayer, let us remember some essentials when it comes to praying in a way that pleases God. I remind you just by really means of introduction here, as I just talked to you tonight and bare my heart to you tonight on this vital topic of praying together, that God does not hear everybody praying. You have to meet the conditions. And may I say to you that there's two major conditions. And these conditions, as I just kind of work down through this with you, is number one, the first essential in a matter of praying in a way that pleases God is you must be saved. You must know the Lord as your Savior. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. That means those who are declared righteous in his sight. In other words, if you're not saved, he has not promised to hear your prayers. So the first essential is you must be saved. Number two, you must be clean. The Word of God says in Psalm 66:18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That tells me this is the psalmist speaking, a psalmist who knew the Lord. He was already a child of God. And this child of God said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. So that tells me that you must be saved. But then as a child of God, you must be clean. I want to ask you a question tonight. Is your heart right with God? I'm not asking, do you think it is? I'm asking, do you know it's right with God? Or is there anything in your life that you know right now that is not pleasing to the Lord? It could be a thought process. It could be an attitude. It could be a habit. Whatever the case may be, are you clean before the Lord? I'm going somewhere, so just stay with me here. On top of these essentials, let me remind you the kind of praying the Lord listens to. In other words, there's two major conditions. You must be saved and you must be clean. But then on top of that, he goes on. These are just things that we've been talking about over the last several weeks. Maybe not all these things, but I'm summarizing some of this. As we continue with this, the Word of God teaches that God hears saved people's praying who are clean before God. And number three, right here, he hears people who are in unity with one another. The Bible teaches this in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. I will not read that for time's sake. But in the church in Acts, and we've been preaching through the book of Acts together with you, and that mighty church that God used to turn the world right side up, that turned the world the way it should have gone and evangelized the then known world, that church came together in one accord, the Bible says. They were together. They were in unity. And I ask you again tonight, is there anybody in this local church that you don't like very well? Is there somebody in this local church that you have something against? Or you think they have something against you? See, here's the thing. If church members are bickering against each other, they are very selfish. Let me tell you why. Because God cannot hear the prayers of a collective group of people if there's sin in the midst of the camp. There's a great work to be done. So if somebody's wrong with somebody else, get it right, not just for you, but for the sake of the body of Christ. So when we come together and pray, God says, hold on a minute around here. My church is praying to me. Saved, clean, unified. Number four, humble. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I'm just giving you some introductory thoughts here, getting ready to get personal with you here in just a moment, just applying some things and how we can apply it to our local church and how God's dealing in the heart of your pastor. See, he's holding me accountable. I'm responsible. And I don't take that lightly on what God wants this local church to do together. So I'm not responsible for your personal life. I can help you, I can challenge you, but I'm not going to answer for what you do before Jesus Christ. I'm not going to answer for your family except for what I preach to your family, and I will answer for what I preach to you individually, but I'm going to stand before God when we talk about church prayer. When we talk about corporate prayer, God is leading me, and I want to lead this church to be the praying church that God wants it to be. We're looking at this. We got to be saved. We got to be clean. We got to be unified. We got to be humble. Number five, we got to be faithful. This is all about prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. We preached on this morning, but in Luke chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, it says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I didn't preach on that passage. I'm just talking about this thought of being faithful in our prayer life. God wants us to be saved and clean and unified and humble and faithful. How about this one? He wants us to be fervent, earnest. James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He not only wants us to be fervent, he wants us to be broken. Psalm 51 verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. By the way, you don't have to be crying out your eyeballs for your heart to be broken in two. Sometimes you cry. Some people cry when they're broken. But I'm not asking when's the last time you wept when you prayed. No, no, no. I'm asking when's the last time you prayed truly from a broken heart. A heart that's serious with God. A heart that knows they need something from the Lord. Saved, clean, unified, humble, faithful, fervent, broken. What about this? Believing prayer. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These are just some introductory thoughts here. That God will hear saved, clean, unified, humble, faithful, fervent, broken, believing prayer. Hey, if that summarizes the prayer life of this local church, God will hear our prayers. God will answer our prayers. Let me give you some instructions here before I give you the application. When we start talking about prayer time, and yes, this applies to your private prayer time, and yes, this applies to your family prayer time, but this also applies to the church prayer time, and I'm still praying about this one. I'm talking about the details of it. I'm just introducing this to you. Number one, under this, set a specific time. I'm talking about specific times to come together to do nothing but pray. The Bible says in Psalm 55:17, the psalmist said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Not only set a specific time, but set a specific place. The Bible says in Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He had a set time. He had a set place. And may I say this to us? Let's learn to stay in the attitude of prayer all day long. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I know this is not... I told you it's going to be different tonight. This is not really an outline. I'm just giving you some introductory thoughts, and I'm getting ready to start talking to you here and just applying these things. God wants us not just to come together in a specific time and a specific place, and that's the only time we pray. No. God wants us to be in a constant attitude of prayer all the time. That the first thing we think about doing is praying. We come together, not only do we need to set a specific time, set a specific place, and stay in the attitude of prayer all day long, but we need to learn to be specific. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request, plural, be made known unto God. The Bible says in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. As I'm getting ready to begin to apply this, let me give you a final thought here. This is all my introduction, if you will. That God hears saved prayers. He hears clean prayers. He hears unified and humble and faithful and fervent and broken and believing prayers. And since it's so important to God, we ought to set a specific time. What gets scheduled gets done. If you don't put it in your schedule, you're probably not going to do it. What gets scheduled gets done. Set a time. Set a place. Stay in the attitude of prayer all day long. Get specific with God. And then, just this final thought here, obey the Holy Ghost's leading and prompting. You know, sometimes it's good to get away from your list. And I encourage you to get a prayer list, but I have a prayer list. Sometimes the Lord... Every now and then, the Lord will lead me away from my prayer list. Don't even pray through it. Let me pray about something else today. God's burdening me about certain things. Let me say this to you. The devil will never prompt you to pray. Did you hear what I just said? The devil will never prompt you to pray. And if you're being prompted to pray, that is the Holy Ghost of God prompting you. Learn to submit to Him. Follow His leading. Now, I said all that to say this. As we consider all these things about prayer and all these sermons that we've been preaching, going back to Dave Young and his 2 messages, there is no doubt that God's children know it's a good thing to pray. We know that. It's a good thing. We know that. We know we should. It's the will of God for us to pray and get serious about our prayer life. In order to apply these truths, I want to challenge us in these areas concerning our prayer lives. And I remind you again, I'm not finished. I am only introducing some of these things to you, and I am still working on some of the details. Now, I know that it's good for a pastor to get up when he's completely, completely detailed and he's got everything in line. But the Lord said, I want you to give what you've got and trust me for the details. And I'm going to work on that, continuously work on that till God gives that to me. But God wants me to challenge this church tonight to help us see there's no time to wait any longer. It's time we stop talking about it and start doing it. It's time we start applying this to our lives. And I want to give you some things here. Number one, if you're keeping notes with me, number one, I've just got this down. I will not dwell long on these first two, but I cannot go to church prayer until, first of all, I talk about your personal prayer. When we talk about coming together as a church family, that does not take the place of your personal prayer life. As a matter of fact, if you're not personally praying, then folks, you're probably not going to help us in church corporate prayer either. You've got to have a personal time with God. You already know that. I'm not preaching on that tonight. Number two, there ought to be a family time. There ought to be a personal prayer life. There ought to be a family prayer life. Whether that be husband and wife or husband, wife, and children, whatever you choose to do there, there ought to be a time when the family comes together and they pray. They talk to God. They share requests. I need to do better at that in my own family. And we talk to God about what we're praying about as a family. But tonight, this is what I've been plowing towards. And that is our church prayer life. Our corporate prayer. Praying together. While church prayer should not take the place of personal and family prayer, there's no doubt that church prayer is important and should be utilized for the glory of God. This is found in Acts chapter 12. Here at this church, there are some prayer meetings already established. I've had a couple of people just today come to me and say, I have already begun a prayer meeting of my own. Amen. I'm for that. Here are some church prayer meetings that's already started. Our Saturday morning men's prayer meeting at 7 o'clock in the morning. I do not want any man coming except who God leads to come. But at 7 o'clock we have a group of men that meet and we pray and we seek God. Here at this local church, in the Berean classroom, in the blue room, any man that wants to come, teenager, child, adult, any man that wants to come, then you're welcome to come. I do not want to pressure you to do that. I don't function that way. As a matter of fact, if you feel pressured to come, it's probably best you don't come. Because God wants people to come who desire to be here. And I encourage you to come. I encourage you to be right in your place. 7 o'clock, men. What about a Sunday evening prayer meeting for anybody at 6 o'clock? Right before church at 6 o'clock, we have a prayer meeting in the same classroom, the blue classroom, the Berean classroom. That's for anybody. That's men, women, boys, girls, teenagers. I know the boys and girls are typically in their children's choir, and the teenagers are in their truth program, and I'm sure that they're praying. At least they should be praying together there. But men and women can come to that, and I invite you to come. Our Wednesday evening prayer meeting that we have as a church body here, that's part of our Wednesday evening church service. This coming Wednesday night, my memory served me correct here, it's Sunday school prayer time. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, you need to come ready to lead your class whenever we dismiss them on Wednesday night for church prayer. These are things that are already going on. But along with these, it's my desire as your pastor to increase the prayer ministry. To increase our prayer ministry of this local church. And I want to give you a list. I've got 13 of them right now. I encourage you to take notes. Matter of fact, if God keeps leading me in these things, I may type this out. It's already typed out. I may give it to you tonight, but I'm still praying through these things. I'm still just working through these things with the Lord. Some of these things are things just to challenge you, just to get you to think. Hey, I could do that. Hey, maybe God would have me do that. You follow me what I'm trying to do tonight? It's not everybody needs to do all of this. No. But maybe God will burden you with some of these things. Some of these things are just some information that I want to give to you, and others are challenges or thoughts that you can think about. One thing the Lord's laid on my heart, and it's not out yet, but it's going to be out in the near future, is we're going to put a prayer box out in the lobby with some cards out there. You don't even have to put your name on it. You can if you want. It'll be self-explanatory. This is number one if you're keeping notes with me. A box where you can write down a personal prayer request that you would like me as your pastor to pray with you about. I'm talking about things that you say, I'd like the pastor to pray with me about this. And I promise you, I give you my word, if you put it in the box and it gets in my hands, I will pray with you about it. I'm committing to you to do that. On that card, God willing, I'm going to put something on it, God helping me to remember this. Is it okay to share this request with our deacons and with other people such as staff? And if you allow me to do that, Daniel's keeping notes for me. Thank you, Daniel. You're reading my mind here a little bit. That's good. And if it's okay to do that, we will pray in staff devotions for those requests. And if God prompts me, I'll give those same requests to our deacons in an email or something like that. I don't know. I don't have all the details. This may be driving some of you all crazy that I don't have all the details, but that's okay. Because I'm just letting you in my heart a little bit tonight. And I'm giving you my word that I'll pray with you. I hope that means something to you. Number two, praying over our children in a special time of the service. I started that tonight. I want to begin. I'm going to be gone, God willing, next week. My wife and I and family getting out of here on a, that sounded kind of bad, didn't it? But getting out of here on a vacation and just kind of relaxing. Just kind of resting. God willing, when I get back, just what I started tonight, I want to increase that. Praying with our children. Praying over them, praying for them. And us coming together when I pray out loud, or if I have somebody come and pray over the children, that we together begin to pray for our kids at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God is pleased with that. Number three. Boy, this is a big one. Wow, this is a big one. This one's on my heart. Enlisting our shut-ins, enlisting our nursing home residents, and enlisting the elderly, I'm talking about those who just cannot get out like they used to. Enlisting them, putting things in their hands, enlisting them in a praying ministry for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and having them praying over the ministries and praying over upcoming events and praying over these things, praying with the pastor and with our church about things that God wants to do here. May I say this to you? Shut-ins, those that cannot get to church, those that cannot hardly get out of their homes, and nursing home residents, sometimes the devil can get in their mind and make them think that they're no good any longer. Everything's done. Why is God leaving me here? Why don't He take me home? I'll tell you why He may have let you here and left those precious people here in our shut-ins and our nursing homes. And our elderly who can't get out like they used to, it could be that God wants them to make prayer their ministry. And beg God that when we knock on doors, oh God, would you break down barriers? And oh God, would you bless the cancer ministry when they go to the hospital this week? And oh God, would you bless the buses as the bus captains go out and knock on doors? And oh God, would you take care of this? And would you give the pastor wisdom? And Lord, would you just help the ministries? Hey, a shut-in, a nursing home resident, I want them enlisted for the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, friends. That right there could move the hand of God at Buffalo Ridge. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Now, all these things need to be worked on. How are we going to do that, Pastor? Amen. We're working on it. You pray with me on these things. We want to enlist these folks. Number four, encourage those who are truly burdened. I may be talking to somebody tonight that you have a real burden. I mean, you're really burdened. It's not a game with you. You're not playing around. You're not messing around. You're not being a Pharisee just trying to act the part. No, no, no. But in your heart right now, God is so birthing something in you that He's stirring your heart to pray and to seek God for revival. Hey, this local church desperately needs revival. I need it. You need it. Your family needs it. This country needs it. And could it be that God is so working in somebody's heart right now and says, yes, Pastor, that's me. I've got a burden for that. Here's number four. If you're truly burdened, start a prayer meeting. Start one. You say, where can I start it? Start it in your home. invite people to come. Tell them to come over and let's pray. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the pastor. It's not a gossip session. No, no, no. If it's that, I'm going to pray God shut it down. Amen. It's not about that. It's about coming together and praying with a burden broken. Number five, I encourage you to find a committed prayer partner with whom you can pray. This could be your spouse. Amen. It should be. I'm talking about somebody on top of them. I'm talking about men with men and ladies with ladies and teens with teens praying together. Number six, I encourage every ministry leader. If you lead any kind of ministry here at all, would you raise your hand? You lead any kind of ministry at all, I'm talking to you. I encourage every ministry leader to spend time in serious prayer. Serious prayer. I'm not talking about where you just bow for 30 seconds. No. I'm talking about serious prayer before your ministry service begins. That may mean that you need to call your service. If it starts at 5, then call a prayer meeting at 4:30. Call a prayer meeting at 4:45. Ask God to bless it. And get God's blessing in on your service before you serve. And then maybe, why don't you call some prayer meetings? I'm talking about a separate time. A time that you don't meet, and all you do is you just come together as a ministry. You're the leader and you're calling a prayer meeting. You're not going to do anything but come together and pray. Beg God to touch your ministry. Beg God to save people in your ministry. Beg God to breathe upon your ministry and to work in this church and to keep the devil out of it. Number seven. I encourage people to get burdened for your ministry. You say, isn't that what you just talked about? No. I was talking to leaders there. Now I'm talking to participants. What I mean by this is this. Let's just take our teen group for a minute. Let's take our youth group. Teenagers probably feel like I pick on them. I'm not picking on them. I'm just using them as an illustration here. All the teenagers tonight, if you're a teenager, would you raise your hand? You're a teenager? Yes, that's a lot of you. Thank you for being here. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Please don't answer it out loud, okay? I want to ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud, just silently. How's your youth group doing? How's the youth ministry doing in your eyes? Is God pleased with it? Is it unified? Is it? Answer it, not out loud, just in your own heart. Is it unified? Is God pleased with it? Is God's hand upon it? Let me ask you a question. Does God want to touch it? Amen. Amen, He does, doesn't He? Anybody else say amen right there, please? Does God want to touch the youth ministry here? Sure He does, and God's using it, and God's using Brother Bob, and I appreciate His spirit, and He's at it. I know what's in His heart. I get it. And I approve of it. I think it's good. How's it going? I know in his heart he loves these teenagers and he wants to see them serve God. But I wonder, teenager, how's it going in your heart? You say it's going terrible. Then here's what I'm saying. Get a burden. Why don't you grab one or two of your buddies? Or one or two of you girls. Grab another couple of your girlfriends and say, hey, let's pray together. Let's pray and ask God to touch it, to bless it, to breathe upon it, to take us forward. Maybe God's just waiting on a teenager to step up and say, we're going to pray. Amen. I'm telling you something. If you don't like this, I'm enjoying myself tonight. Because I know God's in this. He's in it. This is what I mean. Get a burden for your ministry. What about Sunday school classes? When's the last time? And maybe you're doing it. If you are, amen, glory to God.
But when's the last time somebody that's in a Sunday school class, somebody that's in Gary's class or Daniel's class or the home builder's class or the foundation's class, when's the last time somebody in that class just started a prayer meeting to pray for the class? Oh God, help this class to grow. Oh God, would you breathe upon this class? What about it, bus workers? What about it, those that ride the bus? I know some of them, maybe even all of them may not be here tonight. I get it. But if I'm a bus captain, if I'm a bus worker, I'm going to challenge my children to start praying for the bus routes. I'm going to challenge my adults who's riding my bus route to start praying for the bus route. I'm going to challenge them to start praying for what the ministry has done for them and that we can do it for more. What about all the target ministries? The support ministries, like the ushers and the greeters and all of these things, the welcome center and all of these things, just praying, getting a burden. This is number 7. Number 8, I encourage children, teen, and adult prayer meetings. Number 9, I'm considering this. I don't know if the Lord's doing this, but I'm considering it. I'm considering having a sign-up sheet where one or two, it'd be like two men or two ladies, or would sign up to pray on rotation while I'm preaching in here. I know Tom Farrell, when he comes into town, he'll request that there be two men, I think it is, if my memory serves me correct, two men that will sign up each night of the meeting, that'll be out of the meeting, just somewhere begging God and pleading with God and praying for God to bless and God to work. I know that was one of the secrets to Charles Haddon Spurgeon's ministry. When they asked him what the difference was, and he took them underneath and he showed them a room where there were people gathered just praying and begging God as he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Number 10, I encourage people to begin prayer meetings at their work. I had one of our folks who told me that her husband has begun a prayer meeting in his work. I say amen to that. I say amen to it. Number 11, I encourage people to start prayer meetings in your home. I've already said that. Number 12, I encourage people to make a list of your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors. Your friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Make a list of them. Those with whom you're trying to win with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The lost. Those that are unsaved or unchurched and you're trying to get them into this local church or you're just trying to reach them with the gospel. They may be across the country. Put them on a prayer list and begin to pray with them intensely. Get your prayer partner praying with you. Turn it in on the pastor's prayer list. Would you do that? Say, would you pray for these with me, Pastor? I'll be happy to do it. If you want me to go see them, if they're in the area and you'd like me to go see them, I'd be honored to go see them. Just tell me. So I'd never send you. But whatever. I'm just offering myself, okay? Then number 13. I encourage people to commit to becoming to what I call to come in, to commit, to be part of what I call the pastor's prayer partners. Got this idea from West Coast. They have a lot of good ideas at West Coast. I got this idea from them. I like it. Not doing it exactly how they do it, but the thought of it. People just committing themselves to pray for God's blessing upon this local church on a daily basis. Now, in the future, I may call for certain times to stop and pray together. I'm still working on that. With this group of people who will commit to pray every day for this local church and what that commitment entails, I'm not ready to ask you to commit to that tonight as far as in detail because I'm still working through the details. But when I bring this out officially and I ask you to commit to be a praying partner of the pastor, I'm going to ask you to commit to certain things that every day, either at that time or this time, whatever the case may be, however God leads me in this, that you're committing to be one of the pastor's praying partners, pastor's prayer partners. You're going to pray for the church every day. It'd be that group that as God lays on my heart, special request, that I would shoot out an email, if you have email and that capability. Hey, I'm praying about this, specifically praying about, would you join me in praying for this request today? Right now, I'm just calling for you to commit with me to ask for God's blessing daily upon the church. It could be 30 seconds. It could be a minute. It could be 5 minutes, whatever. But before I ask you to specifically commit to something, I am going to ask you tonight to commit to at least breathing a prayer every day that God will touch this local church. God will bless this local church. If you have a pen and paper, I would like you to write these things down. I want to give you some requests to begin to pray for this local church. Will you do this? These are some requests that I'd like you to begin to pray with me for this local church. Number one, this is the pastor's prayer partners. This is, you're committing with me that you're going to pray every day for God's blessing upon this local church. And while I'm not asking for a specific commitment tonight because I'm still working through the details, I'm asking you to be willing to pray every day for God's blessing to be upon the church. The specifics will be, is it going to be a certain time or is it going to be something? I don't know that yet, but I'm still working on that. But I want you to pray about these things. Number one, wisdom for the pastor and the leaders. Now the leaders, that's a large group of people, but wisdom for the pastor and leaders. Number two, church growth. There's three areas in which I'm praying for God to increase this church. Church growth. Number one, spiritual growth. Make this church more like Christ. Number two, numerical growth. And I'm not talking about people coming from other churches, no. I'm talking about people we win to Christ and people that we disciple and assimilate into this local church. You with me there? Number three under this, financial growth. Not so we're sitting pretty, no. But so we can get the gospel to more people around the world. This is request number two. Church growth, spiritual, to be more like Christ, numerical, to win people to Christ, assimilate them here, financial, to get the gospel more around the world. Request number three, that we will truly be a church. Look here, please. It's up here. That has a heart for God. That we will truly be a church that is a home for all. No matter who they are, they feel welcome at Buffalo Ridge. And that we will truly be a church that has a hope for all, that we will keep the main thing, and that's getting the gospel here and around the world. That's request number three. Now this, you understand this list I'm giving you, this is just a starter list, amen? More like we're going to add some things, no doubt about it. Number four, that we will truly be a church that pleases God. Preacher, last year, you may not remember this, sir, but you made a statement, and I've been keeping notes down through the years of statements that you've been making. One thing you said, sir, I don't know if you remember this, is that at your funeral, and I hope we never get there, I hope the Lord comes back, but at your funeral, you said something along this line. You just want for us to be able to say that you brought a smile to God's face. I want God, when he looks at Buffalo Ridge, I want him to smile, don't you? Amen? Now that's a big one because there's a lot of things under it. Number five, that the Lord will keep the devil out of this local church. Don't you know the devil would love to get inside this church? Amen? You know that, don't you? Let's pray the devil stay out of this place. Now the Holy Ghost will slam the door on him. Don't let him in.
By the way, the way you and I can help with that is we make sure he doesn't get in our lives. Because if he gets in me and I'm in this church, you understand, then I just brought him in here. Don't bring him in. Keep him out. Let me give you a final one here, that we will truly be one. One, together, unity, harmony for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to help you here. These things are certainly not exhaustive. This is just me as a pastor just giving you some things that I'm praying about. And there's details to follow, God helping me to put these details together. The point in all of this is we just need to get burdened. Amen? We just need to get broken. And we need to start begging God together for His blessing and His help. All the instruction in the world will not matter if we do not determine just to get started praying. Now you may be asking, what's the big deal with this? What difference can people praying together make anyway? What difference does it make? I'm glad you ask. Let me give you several stories as I'm using this to start to come down for a landing. His name was Christian David. He invited a friend to a Sunday afternoon prayer meeting. His friend was well-to-do, involved in politics, and had a great and bright future. This friend decided to come to the prayer meeting in Christian David's house, and he sat in the living room, and he listened as people prayed. He'd never heard people praying like that before. He was never the same. Zinzendorf was his name. And he said, when I heard those people praying, God changed my heart. Suddenly politics didn't matter and all my plans seemed so silly. He gave the rest of his life to revival and world evangelism, and the great Moravian mission movement that swept the globe came from just a prayer meeting. A young man named Betta had a friend named George, and Betta was going to a prayer meeting and invited George, his friend, to come along. And George was lost. He was wicked. He was hell-bound. But George decided to go to the prayer meeting. As a result, George said, and I quote, I sat down in that meeting that night and I watched people get down on their knees, and something happened when they got down on their knees. And George Mueller was saved. George Mueller recorded 25,000 answers to prayer in a journal. And it all started with just a prayer meeting. Five boys were walking through a rainstorm one day and got under a haystack. Those five young men said, while the storm is on us and we can't move, let's just pray. What shall we pray for? Let's pray for the heathen to be saved. The storm lifted, those boys emerged from under that haystack, and they were different young men. They dedicated themselves that day to foreign missions. Their motto was, we can do it, and we will. The first missionary society in America was born. You ever heard the name Adoniram Judson? Have you heard that name? That's where it all started. Just a prayer meeting. A young man by the name of George Williams had four boys that lived next door to him in a dormitory. He got burdened and asked him if they would meet in his room and pray, and those five young men started praying in a dorm room, and soon they filled that room and another and another and another. Finally, the YMCA, the Young Men's Christian Association, began from just a prayer meeting. It wasn't a big prayer meeting. As a matter of fact, she was the only one that ever went. She was an invalid woman who lay in bed most of the time over in England. She got burdened for her church. Her church was dead and cold and lifeless, and no one ever got saved. She read in the paper about a preacher named D.L. Moody. And she thought, if we could ever get D.L. Moody to preach in our church, maybe something would happen. She started praying that God would send D.L. Moody, a preacher that she had never met, to England.
And she prayed every day. Look here, please. For 2 years. 2 years later, on Sunday afternoon, her sister came home from church and she said that, hey, we had a guest preacher today in our church. This lady said, what was his name? D.L. Moody. She said, the sister who was at church said, he preached a fine sermon, but it was pretty cold in the church. Nobody really responded to it. Her sister, though, the invalid who had been praying for 2 years, I mean, every day for this to happen, she said, God is doing something. No lunch for me today. She locked herself, apparently, in a room all Sunday afternoon, and she begged God, pleaded with God. D.L. Moody went to that same church that evening, and something happened. It broke loose. Hundreds were saved. Revival broke out. And all of that started from one invalid lady got a burden to pray. Two older women, one was 82 and one was 84. One of them was blind. They lived in a house and five men out in a barn praying every Tuesday night and every Thursday night that somehow God would awaken their island, the Isle of Lewis. And through a prayer meeting, God swept through those islands and awakened them. They said 3 years later, the revival was still going on. The island where a teenager barely ever darkened a church door, it was hard to find a young person who did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can you imagine that? And it all started just a prayer meeting. A man by the name of Joseph got a burden. Four more of these, and I'm coming down for a close. He lived in New York City and got a burden for that city and started a prayer meeting. He put out signs and boards. He passed out leaflets and expected lots to come to his noontime prayer meeting on Fulton Street. But when he went for the first time, nobody showed up except him. He didn't quit. He met every day until one day a stranger walked in and said, "Can I join you?" In a few days, there were 20, then 100. So they had to move across the street to a larger facility and then started other prayer meetings. And it was like the Holy Ghost began to hop and skip and jump all across the nation from Fulton Street. Philadelphia was next and then other major cities. And by the time it was over, there was a prayer revival going on in America. A Holy Ghost awakening was happening in our country until one man said, "I started in Omaha and drove all the way to New York City. And it was like one continuous prayer meeting. Every town I drove into, something was going on for God there." And it all started just a prayer meeting. Maybe you've heard of Charles Sheldon's book called In His Steps. What some people may not know is that book came out of a prayer meeting. Charles grew up, he lived 19 years on a Dakota prairie. Every day of his life, his dad got the family together and they read the Bible and prayed. And he said years later, when his book had become such a success and people were lauding him as an author and talking about what an amazing story it was, he said, "No, no, no." He said, "That all came from a prayer meeting." R.A. Torrey in 1898 started a prayer meeting on Saturday nights. People started joining him and prayed for 3 years. 3 years they prayed. Finally, one Saturday night, Torrey said the Lord prompted him, and he said, "Lord, would you send me around the world preaching the gospel?" He said before that night, he never even had thought about that before. 2 weeks later, two men came and said that they would like for him to come into their country and hold an evangelistic crusade. He circled the globe and thousands were saved. He started prayer circles everywhere he went. And when he was done, 30,000 people were in prayer circles. And it all started just a prayer meeting. D.L. Moody held a student convention on Mount Hermon 1 year, and they prayed for one thing: that 100 young people would sign up to be foreign missionaries. Before the week was over, they had 100 signatures.
And it was the beginning of the great student volunteer movement that swept the globe with the gospel, and it all started with just a prayer meeting. How about it, friends? Will you commit to being one who will pray for the glory of God? Will you be one who will ask God to do great and mighty things? Will you be one who will start or join a prayer meeting? I like what Brother Scott Pauley had to say when he preached that message where I got these stories from, just a prayer meeting. It's interesting, he was preaching at a youth congress at Crown College when he preached that message where I got these stories from. He was looking at teenagers when he made this statement. He said, "All we need is just a prayer meeting." Be careful when you answer this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do great and mighty things that we know not if we will just get serious and begin some prayer meetings? I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of at a loss right now, Lord. What do you want me to do? This is not a message where hundreds of people stand and say, "I'll be the one." But I know God is looking for one here and one there and one here and one there and one there. You know, we have a mistaken idea that if we get a lot of people, something big will happen. But it could be that the big thing will happen with just two or three. Will you be one of the two or three? Amen. I want you to bow your head with me and be very, very quiet if you wouldn't mind to do this. No singing, Brother Daniel. I would like to have somebody just playing through softly. How many tonight say, "Pastor Jody, I know you're still working on details. I get it. But I'm going to tell you something. God is stirring my heart. He's stirring me." Would you raise your hand? Be honest about this. God is stirring you. Be honest about it now. Don't play games with the Lord. Amen. You can put your hand down. As they begin to play through softly, would you pray for me that God will help me to put all the details down exactly the way He wants? I'll be honest, I don't know what all this looks like yet for this local church. But I know God is ringing the bell here. He's ringing the bell. As they play through softly, if God is speaking to you, would you get out of your seat and would you come? Come now, would you please? Come now. Yes, I'm serious about this. I'm not playing games. I'm not fooling around. God is working in my heart. I'm serious about it. I'm serious about it. I'm serious about it. Is there a teenager? You may already be at the altar, but is there a teenager that says, "Brother Jody, I'm burdened And I'm burdened specifically for my youth group. I'm burdened. God knows it. If you're a teenager and you're burdened, would you raise your hand? Yes. Amen. Won't you keep your hand up for just a moment? You can put your hand down, but I'd like you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? It's interesting. It's interesting. I see three or four. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I don't want one of you. Two of you. Start a prayer meeting. Let God lead you. You say, Pastor, do you trust me to do that? Yes. Yes. If you're burdened to see God work in your midst, hope you see it. God touch it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne take all my wants and wish.
Father, we thank you for what you've done tonight. And I pray that you'll seal this in our hearts. Lord, you are trying to birth something in this local church. And I pray you'll guide me as the pastor to know exactly what you're doing. As I continue on these things and put the details together and present it to the church for something to commit to, I pray you'll be well pleased with it. May your will be done in our hearts. Bless this tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. She's playing through softly. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed tonight. If you need to see me, I'm up here. Take it and use it, friends. God bless you.